Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast. This is the show where I take a movie remake and compare it to its original source material, at times departing from that format, providing some Bollywood-themed information for everyone out there. My name is Shah Shaheed, and I am your host, and this is the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. Feel free to check it out. Now, before we get started on today's show, I want to take a moment. I believe 2 or 1 day ago, it was officially the first year anniversary of the Split Screen Podcast. During this time that I've done the podcast, there's been a lot of highs, a lot of lows, a lot of episodes where we did frequently, and then a lot of gaps in between. I apologize for that. But it's been a fun ride. I've gotten to meet a lot of interesting people. I want to thank all my guests that have appeared on the show so far, as well as a lot of the guests that are going to be appearing on the show in the future. And again, it's been fun discussing, engaging with everyone on social media. I appreciate all the listens. Thank you so much for all the subscriptions. And keep it all coming. Hopefully, we'll do another year of this. And in the meantime, let's continue. It's been a busy, busy week in Bollywood. So let's kind of recap, rewind, take a look at everything that's happened in Bollywood on this episode, episode 21 of the Split Screen Podcast. Alright, so let's start off with one of the bigger movies in Bollywood that's going to be coming out. Now, this movie's still a year away. It's legitimately, as of right now, more than 1 year away, but we need to talk about it because it's going to be that big. I'm obviously talking about Padmavati, which is the Sanjay Leela Bhansali-directed film. It's a historical epic love story starring Deepika Padukone, Shahid Kapoor, and Ranveer Singh. Epic casting. If you've been kind of listening to this show for a while, you'll remember last year's big blockbuster epic starring, similar people to Deepika and Ranveer was Sanjay Leela Bhansali's Bajirao Mastani, which basically destroyed all the award shows, won everything. His follow-up to that is another movie which seemingly is sort of on the same sort of vein of an epic, sort of a historical love story. Just a quick primer on what Padmavati is going to be about. Essentially, the movie is a dramatized account of the year 1303, where there was a siege in a fort in Rajasthan by one guy who led an invasion to capture someone else's queen. Yeah. No, I know. It's actually a lot weirder once you get into the actual history of what this story is about, what the fuck happened, and essentially how much of that is going to be in the movie is going to be really interesting to see over the next couple of months. Now, Padmavati so far is being touted as the most expensive Bollywood movie ever, surpassing the most recent expensive movie from last year, which was Bahubali, the second part of which is still yet to be released. But this news isn't that unexpected. Bhansali, the set designer / director, is known to do these epic, massive sort of movies. I remember when Devdas came out, that was considered to be a really expensive movie for his time, if not one of the most expensive movies of, at that time in Bollywood. Bajirao Mastani was very similar. If you've seen that movie, it's epic in every sense of the word. So it's not a surprise. And that movie paid off, right? Like, Bajirao Mastani did commercially good, critically good. So it's not a surprise now that Bhansali's gotten a massive-ass budget to go ahead and do Padmavati. Sorry, I gotta say it properly. So essentially, Padmavati is about, like I said, it's essentially a massive battle where one king invades another land, another kingdom, to capture its queen. Now, the details of what and how are kind of shady. Ultimately, the story is from a poem, an epic poem named called Padmavat, written by Malik Muhammad Jayasi in the year 1540. Now, before this, again, and this is all based on just research I've done on the internet, interwebs, the most reliable source of information on the planet. There's not a lot known about the lead character of Rani Padmini, played by Deepika Padukone. There doesn't have seemed to be many references of her in history prior to this poem, so there's really not a lot of evidence of if she was a real person or if she was a fictional character created by the poet for this poem. However, she was supposed to have been the queen of Chittor, which was ruled by Rana Rawal Ratan Singh, which is the character played by Shahid Kapoor. So Shahid Kapoor plays Deepika Padukone's character's husband. Ranveer Singh plays Alauddin Khilji, the second sultan of the Khilji dynasty, and he is the invading king. So, if you haven't been following me so far, Ranveer Singh tries to invade a whole fucking land to essentially get Shahid's girl. This is Padmavati in a nutshell. Now, the weird part about this is, Bhansali seems to have this weird fascination with these love stories where people are already married, which I don't get. So the weird part is, in this movie, everyone's fucking married. It's like Troy, if everybody involved was married. Ranveer Singh's character, Alauddin Khilji, himself is married, and most recently the news has been that the amazing actress Aditi Rao Haideri has been cast as Ranveer Singh's wife in this movie. So, it's weird, guys. It's kind of weird. Like, I don't understand how you reconcile this story where everyone's married and yet we're waging a war to... Like, I'm sure they're going to romanticize the concept between Deepika and Ranveer, also given their real-life relationship as well. But it's strange, right? Is he playing a villain? Are they going to glorify the romance? Are they going to show an abusive relationship between Shahid Kapoor's character and Deepika Padukone's character so we feel bad for her and therefore root for her and Ranveer to get together? Like, it's a whole weird clusterfuck. And at the same time, how do you reconcile rooting for Ranveer's character when he himself is also married? So, I know it's a different time, but it's weird, this kind of shit, right? It's very strange. The story gets even weirder when you realize that essentially even Rani Padmini, was actually the second wife of Rana Rawal Ratan Singh. And there's some other stuff too as well. I mean, there seems to be a controversial element of this story regarding the act of committing Johar, not Karan Johar, we'll talk about him in a bit. But Johar was essentially, it was essentially an act where basically women or royalty queens essentially sacrificed themselves when they were facing defeat at the hands of an invading enemy. So in the poem, it's believed that Rani Padmini killed herself when Shahid Kapoor's character, you know, Rana Rawal Ratan Singh, was facing defeat at the hand of Alauddin Khilji. So that's a thing. And again, like I said, I don't know how much of this is going to make it in the movie. This is me just, this is what I do. I go down a rabbit hole, find out everything I can about the subject of a movie, and, you know, in this instance, dissect it for everyone out there listening, and we'll see how much of this makes it in the movie. I'm feeling, again, this isn't a spoiler because I don't know any of this. I'm just speculating as I do because it's fucking fun to do it, especially when you have this platform to share it with you guys. I'm kind of expecting this really tragic Romeo Juliet style ending where everyone fucking dies, and I hope that's not the case. But I don't really see this movie going anywhere else, given, you know, everybody's married, everyone's invading each other. I want your wife. You can't have my wife. Pox on your kingdom. So we'll see what happens. But again, it's going to be epic, and it could possibly be the most expensive movie in the world. And Aditya Rai Haldri is in it. I love her. I loved her in London, Paris, New York. I hope Shahid Kapoor's character isn't relegated to just, like, you know, friend-zoned in the sake of Deepika and Ranveer's romance on screen. We'll see what happens. There was a lot of other controversies about the casting of this movie, some egos clashing, but I don't give a shit about all that. Let's see what happens with the movie, and let's move on to our next piece of news. All right, so next up, we've got something that I'm thoroughly, thoroughly happy with. I'm excited about as hell. If you've seen the 2015 spy thriller Baby, starring Akshay Kumar, directed by Neeraj Pandey, you may have noticed a small role by a very small actress called Tapsi Pannu, where she essentially played a supporting role as another spy working with Akshay Kumar, and she has one scene where she literally kicks ass. It's fictionalized, I understand. But in that one scene, she, so far prior to doing Baby, she's been in movies which was very like sort of, you know, youth orientated popcorn bubblegum sort of like tee hee ha ha kind of roles. But in Baby, she literally gets physical, does a lot of action stunts on her own. She had to learn and train for the scene, and she's amazing. She makes a huge impact in a movie where otherwise, you know, she's a no-name, you know, actress. Her most recent success was the movie, which has gotten a lot of great word of mouth, Pink, with Amitabh Bachchan. And now, the coolest part, I mean, Han Solo, move over. Bollywood is also getting into the game of prequel spin-offs. Tapsee Pannu is getting her own prequel spin-off movie based on her character from Baby called, the movie's name is Naam Shabana. And it's produced by Neeraj Pandey under his banner of his movie Friday Filmworks. And it is a prequel about her character from the movie Baby. And essentially, I guess, we'll see maybe an origin story. Maybe we'll see kind of how she becomes a spy, how she hooks up with Akshay Kumar's character. Akshay Kumar is set to have a special appearance in the movie, as well as Anupam Kher in the movie as well. So I am completely over the moon. I mean, I don't know if this is a precedent situation where this is a prequel, the first Bollywood prequel ever, maybe. But, I mean, Hollywood does a lot of this, right? Hollywood has spin-offs of minor characters who are fan favorites and things like that. Bollywood doesn't have this. Bollywood has a lot of great actors in great supporting roles in movies who come and go. You know, some of us who notice go, she's fucking amazing, he's fucking amazing, but then you don't see them in anywhere else. They get shit roles, and they're just always relegated to being the hero's sidekick. So this is very cool that this star, this actress, is getting to do this kind of breakout role, which is, and she is the lead in this movie, as far as, you know, we've heard so far. She is the lead. The movie is directed by Shivam Nair. There's really no release date right now. The movie is currently filming, so we'll see what happens. The coolest part also, the movie has signed on for the stunts, because it's going to be very epic action-y like Baby was. For the stunts, they've signed up, the lead stunt director is Cyril Raffaelli, and he was the guy who did a lot of the stunts and was responsible for a lot of the stunts in movies like The Transporter, he was actually the action choreographer in Baby as well, and that movie, if you've seen, again, amazing movie. He's a fight choreographer in The Incredible Hulk, Transporter 1, 2. So this guy's got some pedigree that comes with him, and he's essentially training Tapsee Pannu to do her action in this movie. So, woo! And again, like I said, I hope this starts off a trend, if this movie's successful, for these sort of spin-offs. Take a character from a movie, let's put her in her own sequel, put him in his own sequel, or, you know, put him in a prequel movie of his own, you know, same character, same story, and just do an origin. For instance, just off the top of my head, maybe we could see, you know, Vidwit Jamwal reprising his role from the movie Force in the spin-off prequel. I'm just saying. Moving on, now speaking of Akshay Kumar, he's been associated recently with a lot of real-life sort of movies, biopics, really. His most recent being Rustam, which was about a controversial case that we discussed in another episode of the podcast. He's also done things like Airlift, and he's been a lot of sort of real-life, true-story-based films. However, now Akshay Kumar is going to be jumping on the sports biopic bandwagon, this time as an Indian field hockey player. The movie's called Gold. It's been directed by Reema Kagti, who, if you don't know, is responsible for films like Talash. She's actually part of that whole Fahar Akhtar XL Entertainment crew. She did the story and screenplay of Dil Dharakne Do. She directed and wrote Talash. She's part of the Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara crew. So, lot of veteran sort of background to her. She's the one writing and directing Gold. The story is actually about a Indian field hockey player named Balbir Singh, which is a role that Akshay Kumar has been playing. He's got the unbeatable record for most goals scored by one individual in men's Olympic hockey in the 1952 Olympic goals, where he scored 5 goals in an India versus Netherlands match. Since then, after that, his career in the Olympics, he's, you know, gone on to essentially written many books. He became the coach and then the manager of the Indian, you know, national Indian hockey team. So it is a sports biopic. We've seen a lot of these in recent times. We've seen, you know, Dungle's coming out this year. We've got, you know, Mary Com came out, and then, you know, so a lot of these movies have taken place. And now Akshay Kumar, who personally I think is one of the most interesting actors right now, given the kind of slate of projects he chooses. This guy does this stupid Houseful 3, but then he'll also do, again, shit like Airlift. He'll do shit like things like Rustam. And again, his movies never disappoint, no matter, you know, good, bad, shitty. You know, either it'll make money or it'll be critically amazing. So it's kind of, he does everything for everyone. So I'm really interested to see what Gold is, how it shapes up. The director is, again, like, a lot of weight behind her. She's, you know, it's the movie's being produced by Excel and Eros, so there's going to be that weight behind these reputable companies. Let's see what he does. I hope we get to see him, you know, be a hockey player. And I don't know if it's going to be a movie that spans, you know, his entire career of, you know, being a coach and a manager and things like that, or if it's just going to be about him as, you know, peak athlete sort of condition. But best thing is, it's an Akshay Kumar movie. You know, it's not going to disappoint no matter how it is. Now, given all these interesting actors in the industry right now, it's sort of unbelievable to see a sort of a supporting actor whose movies and whose project might be making it to the Oscars in any one of these lead hero roles that we've got. It seems that Sonu Sood, who is a supporting character, again, a supporting actor, better known for movies like Happy New Year and Dabang, things like that. Now, he's been involved in a Chinese industry film that actually may be heading to the Oscars. The movie in particular is Zuan Zhang. It's a Chinese film made in 2016, which is China's official entry to the Oscars. The story itself is about during the Tang Dynasty, about a young monk who essentially goes to India in his quest for knowledge about Buddhism. And during that journey, he's met with very different, you know, perils, dangers, natural disasters, and essentially sees the sufferings of the common people. It sounds almost like a mirroring of the journey that you had, you know, Siddhartha or Buddha go through himself. And obviously, during his adventures in India, he comes across, you know, the kings and queens of that age. And that's what Sonu Sood's character plays. He does play King, I think, Harshvardhan. Most interesting also is in this movie, there's also some other Bollywood faces as well, actors like Ali Faisal, who people will know mostly from the most recent Happy Bhag Jayegi movie, where he played Guddu. He's also been in things like, if you have anyone seen Three Idiots, he was the guy who, he played Joy Lobo, essentially the guy who, the depressed student who ended up killing himself, spoilers. But he's in this movie as well. You've also got Neha Sharma, who again will be mostly remembered from the Kriti short that we discussed a couple of months ago. She was in movies like Yamla Pagla Divana 2, Teri Meri Kahani, things like that. And also playing Sonu Sood's character's sister is Mandana Karimi, who, you know, most people will probably know for Kya Kool Hai Hum 3. I'll leave it at that. So Sonu Sood, again, supporting no-name guy, is essentially involved in a movie from the Chinese film industry that's going to go to the Oscars. And what's weird about this to me personally is, whenever you have, like, right now we've got this huge craze in Bollywood. You know, Priyanka Chopra's doing Baywatch and Quantico, and Deepika's doing XXX, the Vin Diesel movie, not porn. Calm down, everyone. And there's all this, you know, we're all going apeshit about, oh my God, Bollywood stars in Hollywood, ah! But why don't we, like, personally, I haven't seen any coverage of any of these actors from Bollywood being involved in this Chinese film that apparently has been, you know, so widely revered that it's, you know, the country's official entry to the Oscars, which is a big fucking deal. But if you look at any of the Bollywood media or the Bollywood, you know, sort of outlets, no one seems to care. And it seems like, to me personally, it looks like it's like the Hollywood hangover in Bollywood is so massive that even when, you know, anyone does the smallest role, like a glimpse in a movie of that's produced in the Hollywood industry, they go apeshit. Whereas it's like, this movie, obviously, like, I'm gonna try to find this movie. I'm going to try to watch Zhuang Zhang and see what this is about. And yes, it's because there's some Bollywood actors in it, but I want to check it out for that reason. It doesn't matter why, what interests you to watch a movie, as long as you watch it and give it the recognition it deserves. So, again, it just kind of seems weird that this stuff isn't as big of a deal as other shit. But I digress. Now, the other movie that I talked about last episode was the trailer for Hrithik Roshan and Sanjay Gupta's Kabil. Latest news from the sets of Kabil is, given Hrithik's involvement behind the scenes, it seems like he might be heading towards the director's chair and actually gearing up for a directorial debut of his own. The news was confirmed by his father, Rakesh Roshan, who has confirmed and agreed that, yes, Hrithik is preparing to essentially become a director of his own right. Now, this news shouldn't surprise people if you know what Hrithik Roshan's done in his career to get to where he is today. say what you will about him now, but even prior to his debut in Kahoon Na Pyaar Hai, Hrithik Roshan was involved in a lot of the, you know, I mean, I don't know how involved or how much input he had, but he was there on his father's movies like Koila and you know, Karan Arjun. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was really young, but he's been on a lot of film sets as part of the crew, helping out and essentially kind of, you know, doing what needed to be done, getting the hang of the filmmaking process, which again, and he wasn't the first. A lot of people have done this. Ranbir Kapoor's done this. Sonam Kapoor's done this. So it's not anything that's, you know, ground-shattering news. There was also interviews, I remember, from after his debut in Kahoon Na Pyaar Hai, where people went apeshit about, oh my God, Hrithik Roshan. And there's interviews where he talked about the fact that, you know, it's different being an actor versus being on set as, you know, whatever, helping out. Because when you're just on set, you know, he was saying that as an actor, it's hard for him to not break out of the habit of checking the lighting, checking the grip, checking the mics, you know, making sure everything's blocked properly, which, being a lead actor, was a lot harder for him to do and break out of that habit. So it's not surprising to me personally hearing this. And again, for people that know, you know, what Hrithik Roshan's journey has been. And again, no matter what you say about the guy's acting, he picks interesting roles. Like, if you take a look at his movies in the past, you know, hit or miss, they've been different. After a certain time, he, you know, post Koi Mil Gaya, he has made an attempt at doing different things and essentially growing his repertoire of films. Now, if he goes behind the screens and kind of behind the camera, who knows? He might be one. I mean, his dad definitely fucking was a better director than he was actor. So, Hrithik Roshan is a great actor, in my opinion. He's had a really shitty sort of stream of movies in the last couple of years. But I don't see that he can't turn that around once he goes behind the camera. Maybe directs the movie that he's in. Why not? We'll see, I guess. We'll see what happens. Let me know what you guys think on Twitter, at The Shah Shaheed. I'm sure we'll have a fervent discussion about Hrithik Roshan, the director. But let's see what comes of that. Now, the next bit of news excites me to no end. A little bit of background. So, for a couple of years now, Rajkumar Hirani and Vidhu Vinod Chopra, the guys responsible for the Munna Bhai franchise, Three Idiots, and PK, of course, they've been trying to make a movie which is essentially, hold on to your hats, a biographical movie about Sanjay Dutt's life. That's right. No, this is fucked up. So, Sanjay Dutt, at the time when majority of this news was kind of, you know, circling the atmosphere, Sanjay Dutt happened to be in jail. I think the news happened right before he went to jail. So when he went to jail, everyone out of respect wanted to wait for him to come out before they started working on this movie. The story at the time was that playing the role of Sanjay Dutt will be Ranbir Kapoor. Apparently, he had the blessing of the family. Apparently, he had the blessing of Sanjay Dutt himself to, you know, portray him in his own biographical film. This is fucking exciting, guys. First of all, if you know Sanjay Dutt, most people now will recognize him as a supporting actor in films like PK, or, you know, just other kind of silly cameos and things like that in, you know, movies like Ungli and stuff like that. But Sanjay Dutt is a massively famous actor. He's a great actor. He was one of the more on the forefront of that generation of actors who actually worked on their physique and they started taking their shirts off. And it was, you know, good, let's say, for lack of a better, less excitable adjective. And he was a second generation actor. His father was Sunil Dutt, which brings us to this piece of news that apparently, now that Sanjay Dutt's out of jail, we're getting the gears rolling on this movie happening. And after a lot of people passed, apparently Jackie Shroff has been confirmed or given the green light to basically play the role of Sanjay Dutt's father in the movie, Sunil Dutt, who was a massive legend in his own right. Now, this is exciting for many reasons. If you've heard the show before and you know my feelings on Jackie Shroff, I absolutely fucking love Jackie Shroff. So it excites me to no end that he's going to be in this movie. Really, in any movie. But the fact that he's going to be playing essentially Sanjay Dutt's father, Sunil Dutt, is just as exciting, because if you know Jackie Shroff, he's a great fucking actor. Take away his craziness, he's a great fucking actor. In the hands of a good director, he's an even better fucking actor. And Jackie Shroff has an amazing relationship with Vidhu Vinod Chopra. If you go back and listen to some other episodes of this show, you'll realize that one of his best roles was an amazing movie called Parinda, directed by Vidhu Vinod Chopra. So he's got a pre-existing relationship with these guys. So I hope it goes through. I hope it works out. I hope Jackie Shroff can pull the shit together and be Sunil Dutt. Ranbir Kapoor definitely has shades of Sanjay Dutt. Regarding the movie itself, I'm a little bit worried about the tone of the film. First of all, because Sanjay Dutt is such good friends with all these people as well, again, he did the Munna Bhai franchise with them, I wonder how much of his actual life this movie is going to look into. Because, again, if you don't know Sanjay Dutt, he was involved in some terrorist bombing situations in the 90s. He served, this isn't the first time he's been to jail. I don't know the gory details, but he's had a very gray sort of time in his life. Obviously, he's overcome a lot of it. He's you know, become a productive member of society, whatever you want to say. Now, he's even paid his debt to society. He's out. So, I'm interested in seeing what this movie does. Given the sort of films these people have been making, again, Three Idiots, the Munna Bhai franchise, and you have PK, their movies are very massively entertaining. They're hilarious, they're funny. They do get really serious by the third act. There's a great moral message at the end of it, and everything comes together, which is great. I just don't know how honestly they're going to look into Sanjay Dutt's life. I don't know how self-reflective Dutt is going to be, and I assume he's going to be involved. Like I said, he's really good friends with all these people. And if it's going to be kind of a fluff piece, I don't know if I want that. And I don't see the point of that. If the movie's going to be a platform for Dutt to kind of clear the air or finally publicly acknowledge the shit that he did, even if it's from a, you know, I was the victim sort of a way, fine, I'll see that. But I just wonder how dark the movie's going to be given Rajkumar Hiren is directing it and it's being produced by Pradyumna Chopra. So definitely stay tuned and we'll kind of see what happens. Now, moving on to another actor known for his antics off-screen, more so than his performances on-screen, actually maybe just as much, Salman Khan recently weighed in on his political choice for the upcoming US election, in which on social media he essentially endorsed, you know, Hillary Clinton for some reason. I don't know why. I live in Canada. Obviously, we all have a vested interest in how the U.S. elections work out because we all live in this world and, you know, being a super player, it all affects us in some way or another. But I don't, like, huh? Why? What does it matter? Who cares who you're supporting? It was just an odd sort of a tweet or just an odd sort of a post that he put up. I don't know. Hope maybe he'll live tweet the election. Who knows? Let's see what happens. Now, another sort of rumor that's doing the rounds right now, with the most recent release of Karan Johar's Ae Dil Hai Mushkil, and with Aishwarya Rai being in the limelight again, and obviously Karan Johar's favorite actor, Shah Rukh Khan, there's a possible sort of rumor about those two actors working together in a Karan Johar movie, which is great. These two actors, the few times they've been on screen together, they've created magic. They were in Devdas together, full-fledged in a movie. They were in Mohabbatein in a sort of weird, sort of meta-necromantic romance. Necromance, if you will. Actually, that is a word. I don't know. That's kind of creepy. And also they did the Adam Song and Shakti, which was, you know, Ish Kamina. So again, fireworks between these two guys. Now, the thing that worries me about a movie like this is, first of all, not having seen Ae Dil Hai Mushkil, to be able to comment on Karan Johar's directing style and his maturity now, I don't see Shah Rukh Khan and Aishwarya Rai Bachchan in a movie where it's going to be a college romance or a youthful romp in, you know, modern society kind of a thing. If they are doing a movie like that, I hope to God it is a more mature film. I hope to God it deals with a lot more things other than, you know, dance-oriented love songs in clubs. Basically, because even given the promos of Ae Dil Hai Mushkil, Aishwarya looks older. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I love the fact that she looks older. Like, we don't have, you know, not mature. We don't have 40s or late 30s actresses in the industry being showcased as sexy. And that's not right. And if they did a movie where you have a Shah Rukh Khan and you have an Aishwarya Rai Bachchan and they're playing their age in a story that's about their age and that's mature, and it could be a love story, it could be whatever you want, but let's do that. Like, I'm getting fucking sick and tired of these, you know, romps in the meadows and sari waving in Egypt pyramid love story bullshit songs. Like, it makes me cringe and feel bad for them. So let's not do that. Karan Johar, if you're gonna do a movie with Shah Rukh Khan, Aishwarya, give us something that's worth of both their talent and both their fucking, you know, looks in their personal lives right now. And I know I forgot about them being in Josh, but they played in Brother and Sister, guys. I'm not going to talk about that now. That's weird. You guys are creepy. So moving on, talking about Shah Rukh Khan. I'm gonna talk about two things about Shah Rukh Khan right now, which is kind of sad. And after that, I'm actually going to give you my opinion. This is something I try not to comment too much on. And I'm obviously talking about the Pakistani artist ban in Bollywood. I don't get into politics when it comes to Bollywood because there is absolutely no fucking point. But it gets to these situations where it's kind of like, I mean, controversy notwithstanding, it's stupid. It's stupid and it's terrible. And I feel like I can't really not comment on this anymore. So this week we've got two things happening. Actually, three things happening. So on Twitter, I was discussing with someone. Last episode, I discussed the Dear Zindagi trailer. I mentioned that Ali Zafar is in this movie, who is an amazing actor. He's a Pakistani actor. He's a singer, sorry. He's a singer-turned-actor. His songs are amazing. He's been in, you know, appreciated in every movie he's done. His largest break was probably playing kind of like the second hero lead in My Meri Brother Ki Dulhan with Imran Khan and Katrina Kaif. From that, he got, you know, kind of lead roles in Killdale, which again I loved. He's done movies like London, Paris, New York with Aditya Rao Haidari, which again was very well appreciated. He's obviously not had some duds. Total Siapa was kind of a dud, but he's got a good kind of a career. Chashme Badur was a comedy with David Dhawan, which again apparently did really well. He's made a name for himself, and again, he's got nowhere to go but up. But now, with this Pakistani artist ban thing in Bollywood, there's new news that's kind of coming out of the Dear Zindagi movie about the fact that he's been replaced with the Force 2 actor that we also discussed last episode, Tahir Raj Bhasin, you know, known mostly from the Rani Mukherjee movie Mardani. Now, this story, you got to take with a grain of salt, because as per IMDb, the movie is in post-production, which makes sense. It's coming out this month, I believe. So it's kind of way too late for them to go back and reshoot scenes that have been in the can for probably a couple of months now. The news report also suggests that what the majority of the shooting that's being replaced is a song track with Alia Bhatt, the leading actress of Dear Zindagi. But which again sounds very unrealistic because if the film's in post-production, it takes a lot of money, time, and effort to get the crew back together to go back and reshoot an entire song. And it's not even the song takes, you know, like a day to shoot. It takes a couple of days to get, you know, everything down. There's so many settings, so many scenes, and so many, you know, locales that you'd have to go to for like a sort of a Bollywood-style music video. So I don't really believe this as much. I feel like this is just, again, sort of rumor-mongering. If it's true, it's kind of fucked up, because why? And again, I guess we'll see what happens, because so far the teaser trailers of the film haven't focused on any of the three leading men opposite Alia Bhatt in the movie, which is Aditya Roy Kapoor, Kunal Kapoor, and Ali Zafar. And as I said on Twitter with some other people as well, it seems odd, because even though Kunal Kapoor and Ali Zafar might not be leading men, Aditya Roy Kapoor is a pretty big name in Bollywood right now. His last movie was Fitur, which was, you know, a flop, but still big enough that he can be considered a star enough to market this movie. We assumed Ali Zafar wouldn't be in the commercials, and he's not, but if he's been replaced, it seems kind of weird. I don't believe it, but I guess we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. And speaking of Pakistani artists being replaced in Shah Rukh Khan movies, another movie where the same thing might have been happening as we've been hearing for a couple of months now is Shah Rukh Khan's Rais, which is set to release next year in, I believe, February. Now, for a while, again, it's the exact same situation. It's a deja vu situation right now with the Ali Zafar story, where people have been saying for the last couple of months, ever since this Pakistani ban thing happened, that Mahira Khan, a Pakistani actress making her debut with Rais opposite Shah Rukh Khan, has been replaced in the movie. That story holds a bit more water, because even though Rais has been basically, I mean, I've personally been waiting for Rais for a year and a half now. It's going to be another couple of months until it comes out. But it's still a few months away, so it's feasible they could have gone back and reshot some things. However, Farhan Akhtar, starring in the movie and also a producer of the film himself, has come out and confirmed that no such thing is happening, and Mahira Khan is very much in the movie, and she will continue to be a part of the film, which is great, and I applaud him for that. It's, again, it doesn't make sense to me why, how you relate a tragic event, you know, fueled by political agenda and motivations, to an industry that's solely based on creativity and essentially for providing pleasure and entertainment to people, and how do you connect the two and hold certain people working in that industry as being responsible or having to pay for the crimes of other people. That, to me, doesn't personally make any sense. And, you know, if it's true that she... I mean, it's great that she's continuing to make the movie. If the industry's going to react in such a way negatively that, you know, you're going to ban these people or, you know, you're going to call for the banning of these people, it's weird. Now, again, like I said, I can't not talk about this movie, so I do have to, this issue, so I do have to provide some context for people that may not know about what's been going on with this Pakistani ban thing. Essentially, there were some attacks on India by Pakistan, followed by any attack on Pakistan by, the Indian forces, which has now caused a huge uproar in the country to essentially, you know, a lot of sort of negativity towards Pakistanis that are in India. And being the biggest thing that anyone talks about in India, besides cricket, is Bollywood, that fear and hate has sort of, you know, been targeted towards the Bollywood industry. The most recent controversy, and this isn't even, unfortunately, the government sort of inciting this. It's a political opposition party known as the Maharashtra Navnirman Sena, or MNS from now on, because that was kind of hard for me to say. So these guys are essentially pushing for this Pakistani artist ban in the country. The essentially victims of this so far, the rumored victims of this so far, is the most recently a movie was released about the Indian cricket captain, a sports biopic, MS Dhoni, where apparently Fawad Khan, the breakout actor from Khoobsurat and Kapoor & Sons, Pakistani, apparently had a very important role to play in the movie, playing the character Virat Kohli, which is, again, another famous Indian cricketer, whose friendship with the captain, MS Dhoni, is one of the building blocks of, I guess, their cricket career, from what I'm to understand. Apparently, after all this shit broke out about Pakistani artists being banned, the filmmakers of MS Dhoni decided to cut out every sort of scene that was shot with Fawad Khan. Even though the relationship between MS Dhoni and Virat Kohli was a significant sort of, again, like I said, developing his career. So, for this reason, and apparently he didn't even know about it, the scenes were just cut, the movie was released without any presence of Fawad Khan. It was meant to be a surprise, given he's, again, a pretty successful actor right now. There's a lot of buzz when, you know, one of the best movies of this year had to have been Fawad Khan's Kapoor & Sons. So that would have been a nice surprise for fans in general to see that sort of an extended cameo appearance in another big movie. But unfortunately, that was meant not to happen. The second victim... this isn't in any order, but another unfortunate sort of situation was happening during Karan Johar's release of Aye Dil Hai Mushkil, which again features Fawad Khan in sort of a prominent role, if not an extended cameo as well. What's happening with that now is, I mean, the film has, as of this recording, released. It's doing pretty well. I mean, it's getting mixed reviews critically, but commercially it's doing pretty well. However, the controversy a couple of weeks ago was the fact that the MNS, this opposition party, was essentially threatening to protest, boycott the film, and essentially, you know, hinder its release and its run at the box office, submitting to pressure and, you know, essentially giving in. Director Karan Johar released a press statement, a video on social media, essentially abhorring terrorist attacks, supporting the cause of the Indian people, you know, essentially reiterating his nationalism, however pleading for the hundreds of Indians involved in the making of Aye Dil Hai Mushkil and how any interruptions to its release is going to affect them in a negative way, which makes absolute sense. A movie is made with hundreds of people behind the scene. You boycott a movie for one person, you're fucking over so many other people that worked so hard on this movie, their livelihood, their careers. And it was a great plea. The thing that he's taking a lot of shit for is the fact that he promised in the same video that he would no longer work with Pakistani artists going forward. And he said it in a very offhand, sort of casual way. Now, everyone realizes that Karan Johar released the video and made his statement under duress. It's very clear if you watch the video, it's almost like there is a literal gun off camera to his head making him say all this. Because again, you can stand by your fucking principles and completely fuck over like everyone involved in making the movie, or you could give in to ensure that everything goes smoothly and people get what they want, people are happy. People that you're responsible for as a director. You may not be the boss, but you're the director. You are somewhat responsible, especially if you're the producer. These people are working for you, your employees. You got to take care of their families. So it's not completely understandable that Karan Johar kind of gave in to the pressure and said what he said. However, now the next movie in question, Raiz, is under a lot of shit because Raiz's lead actress is Mahira Khan, a leading Pakistani actress. And Farhan Akhtar has now completely come out and said that Mahira Khan is in the film. He has no plans of modifying her appearance, cutting her out, reshooting, replacing her in any way whatsoever. Now, behind the scenes, one of the reasons beyond Karan Johar's Aidil Hai Mushkil getting a smooth release is not just that video that he released, but also the fact that he paid 5 crores to the National Defense Fund at the behest of this MNS party. So Farhan Akhtar is refusing to pay this. Simply because if you think about it, and again, I'm not going to make any comment on your political affiliations. I don't know anything about politics well enough in India to even make a comment on anyone's political motivations or intentions. But just looking, as an outsider looking in, it seems like fucking extortion, doesn't it? Especially because it's like, you're not even involved. Like, it's not even like direct extortion. It's literally like you're saying, hey, you can do your thing, brah. Like, yo, well, it's okay. You know, you release your movie. It's not a problem. You just got to make sure you pay my buddy over there and then we'll take care of everything for you. It seems like extortion. It seems fucking terrible. I mean, sure, the money's going to a good cause, like the National Defense Fund, but it just doesn't seem right. It feels very wrong. And again, Farhan Akhtar has even called out the fact that this is a hypocritical situation because he's asking the fact that, and this is a quote from him, we are law-abiding taxpayers and the state should be taking care of us, end quote. It just seems like, and he's right, like they are law-abiding taxpaying citizens. Someone's interfering in the way they conduct their business. Where's the government? Why is the government stepping in to sort of protect these people or, you know, say anything to the MNS party, which again, it's like fucking extortion. You gotta, like, I don't know what to say about this. It's a weird situation, but I'm glad that Farhan Akhtar is kind of taking a stand, but at the same time, you gotta wonder too, again, when push comes to shove, when February, Race is about to be released, January 26th, when Race is about to be released, does he give in to pressure? Especially because if this kind of fanaticism keeps mounting, how do you fight that? How do you take a stand against that? Especially when it's not just you being affected by it. It's all these people that work for you. Just like Karan Johar's situation. You've got all these people that are working for you. It could be a safety issue. It could be, you know, there could be so much more to it than just, you know, I'm going to stand up for my principles. It's a crazy debate. I know it's not, I'm not doing any justice to the debate. I'm not smart enough to do justice to this debate properly. But I just kind of felt like this is weird. This is strange. And the sad part, too, is I have this nagging feeling that this is just going to be another sort of, you know, flavor of the week topic, that we're all going to get outraged about this, we're going to discuss this fervently amongst each other on Twitter and social media and on podcasts, but in a couple of weeks, it's all going to fucking die down, and we're going to be on to the next thing, and, you know, where Bollywood's the shining beacon of another controversy that everyone has to comment on and give their 2 cents on. So, and in the meantime, I wonder about these Pakistani artists, you know, they, talented fucking people, I wouldn't come back. Would they come back, you know, at the risk of safety to their lives, at the risk of this perception of all these Bollywood Indian filmmakers and actors decided not to stand by them and essentially condemned them for, threw them under the bus, it looks like to me, for their own sake, for their own purposes, you know, being compelled to otherwise. Anyways, that's my 2 cents on it. Not to get too political, I'll get off my soapbox. Probably not going to bring it out again for a long time. So thank you so much for indulging me in that. That is all the Bollywood news that's fit to print for this week on this show. Thank you so much for listening. Do feel free to get in touch with me on Twitter or leave a comment on the website where the post is with all the show notes. And let me know what your thoughts are on any of these news items. Let me know if you want to see a Vidwa Jamwal Force prequel. I know there's a lot of people I personally know are going to go apeshit over that idea. But do engage with us on social media. You can find the podcast at splitscreen_pod on Twitter. You can contact me directly on Twitter at The Shah Shahid. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and try to leave us a review and rating. Let me know what I'm doing right. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. What you hate, you know, probably the last 10 minutes of my, you know, speechalizing. Subscribe to the site as well. On the site is where I put most of my movie reviews, as well as trailer breakdowns of Hollywood films, TV reviews, things like that, Netflix. I'm kind of working my way through Luke Cage. I know I'm really far behind, but that should be up there in a couple of weeks as well. And in the meantime, again, like our Facebook page, facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. And that's basically everything for us here on this episode of Split Screen Podcast. I have been Shah Shaheed. Have yourself a great November, and thank you once again for listening.